Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Good morning. Great to be here with you. Great to have you here all together. It's the first Sunday of July, and we're getting some summer weather finally, and love it. Good to be here. As Pastor Dave just mentioned, we're in the second week of our series on the book of Proverbs, Let the Wise Listen. And last week, Pastor Dave gave an introductory sermon entitled, What is Wisdom? And so if you missed that, you can go check that out online and catch up a bit. But essentially, Pastor Dave stated that this series is about wisdom being an earnest, starting with an earnest fear of God, a respect for God and his ways and his wisdom for our lives. And that in turn, wisdom helps us to live with the grain of the world God created and not against the grain, using the illustration of a board. And you know, you don't want slivers. And God's wisdom helps us to live with the grain of life. But he also taught that the Proverbs aren't making big promises that every time, if you do A, B will happen. Sometimes things don't work out, but they're not making promises, but more sharing probabilities on a large scale. Most of the time, if you live according to the grain of God's world, it will go well for you. And so from in this series, we really want you to know that heeding the wisdom of Proverbs doesn't necessarily make life better. It's not going to change everything about your life, and it's not a way to manipulate God into doing everything that we want, but they make us better at life. Heeding the wisdom of Proverbs isn't about making life better. It's making us better at life. And so from this point on in the series, we're going to be looking at some specific aspects of wisdom and getting down into some nitty-gritty of exercising wisdom. And today, we're speaking about our words. Now, who's ever gotten into trouble because you said something stupid? Anybody today? Anybody this morning on the way to church? I empathize with that because I've said lots of dumb things that, in hindsight, are clearly dumb. But in the moment, they seem to make perfect sense. And my wife is just like nodding her head in total agreement. And I'm not going to get into all the specifics. But just let me be clear at the outset. I need wisdom. Amen. With my words. And I think we all do. We can all open our mouths and put our foot in there pretty quick, right? Say something thoughtless or careless. Or even mean or unkind in a bad moment. We've all been there. And our words and the ways we use them are one of the quickest ways to assess our wisdom, right? When you listen to someone talk, you get a real insight into their inner world. And that's why we get so freaked out with first impressions, right? You're like, wow, you leave a conversation, why did I say that? Oh my gosh, they think I'm an idiot. You know, and I once had a conversation with a colleague at a new workplace, and we're talking about, you know, different types of food we like from different parts of the world, and I shared, yeah, I like these, I like that, but I don't really like food from this country, and the room kind of went quiet, and sure enough, that's where they're from. That's their heritage, that's their culture. So hey, good to meet you. I don't really care for your culture that much, but nice to meet you. Isn't a really great impression. So I've been there. I empathize. My mouth moved faster than my brain, and that's always a dangerous place to be in. But words are a significant part of our growing up in Christ, in our discipleship. Jesus said, what you say flows from what's in your heart. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And the Proverbs have a lot to say about our words. We can't look at all of them today, but we're going to look at a few. And so I want to discuss how the wise wield the power of words. And words are extremely powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." You know this. You've had words that have brought intense joy and life into your life. You've probably also had some words that brought real pain and hardship into your life. And with anything that's extremely powerful, there's an extreme potential for harm, and there's an extreme potential for good. Nuclear technology can create clean, limitless energy, but it can also create an atom bomb that decimates entire countrysides and homes and lives and cities. Fire can keep you alive when you're stranded in your car on a cold day, but that same fire, if it gets out of control, can rip through the countryside, destroying people's homes and lives. And wisdom is often the factor between whether an extremely powerful thing will produce goodness or harm. And it's the same with our words. We all are armed with powerful ability to bring powerful good with our words or powerful harm with our words. We all carry around a loaded gun, and it's called our tongue. So there's great potential for good every time we open our mouths with encouragement, instruction, thankfulness, informational words that can bring life on all kinds of different levels. But there's also danger every time we open our mouths to speak. James chapter 3 says, "The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." And there's a popular proverb that says, "Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." Right? Every time you open your mouth, you're in danger, right? Proverbs chapter 17 says, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent." You know, better to just shut up than to reveal your ignorance, right? Sometimes just being quiet is the best thing. So the power of our words, our words can create and destroy. And we see in Genesis chapter 1 that God created everything into being with his words. He created life and beauty and goodness and the vast array of nature and all of the things that we see and enjoy. God created with his words. He said, and it was. In the same way, there's a sense that we can also create worlds with our words, can't we? We can create worlds, and we can destroy worlds with our words. In the world of kind of pop psychology, there's a line of thinking about manifesting your best reality with words and your thoughts, right? The power of positive thinking and speaking things into existence. And there's a law of attraction, the concept that suggests that your positive or negative thoughts and words can make things appear and manifest. A new job, a new spouse, hopefully not a new one. But with your positive affirmation and declarations, you can bring about a desired outcome just by saying things. It's important to note, like, there's not really any scientific or biblical evidence for that you can just say things and they'll come about. That's kind of getting into the realm of magic and incantations. But it is important to note that we can create a better marriage with good communication and words of affirmation. We can create better circumstances in life by not lashing out when we're angry. So we have that power to create and to build and tear down with our tongue. So we're gonna look at three ways that the wise wield the power of their words. And we're gonna use a really basic illustration of a traffic light: red, yellow, green lights, to illustrate three points from the sermon. And we're gonna look at three points that the book of Proverbs shows us when we need to yield, when we need to stop, and when we need to go. So the first point we're going to go through is that the wise are slow to speak. Okay, that's our yellow light. Our second point is that wise people flee from gossip and slander. That's the red light. And number three is wise people speak words of life. That's the green light. So we're going to keep those three colors, that image in our mind throughout. So first off, wise people are slow to speak, yellow light. So you get to an intersection, and the yellow light means what? You gotta slow down, you gotta be cautious, danger ahead, it's time to be conscientious, be prepared to stop. And we've got a new driver in our house. She's doing great. I thought I was going to be the one to be like the, you know, the calm, you know, help you, help the driver thing. Turns out my wife, Jillian, has been doing more of that, and I'm the stressed out one. I like actually grab the wheel. I'm like, ah. I didn't see that happening, but she's doing awesome, and Jill's doing a great job teaching her. But I'm reminded when you're learning to drive, healthy caution, right, is so important. Just being conscientious. It's not like this paralyzed fear of making a mistake, because that, you know, that makes you dangerous on the road. But just a sense of conscientiousness as you go. And that's what we want to talk about. The wise are slow to speak. We're carrying around a loaded gun, right? How am I going to use this powerful tool that's within me? Whenever we open our mouths to speak, wisdom beckons us to practice conscientiousness. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. The more you speak, the more you're at a greater risk of sinning, hurting someone, saying something unhelpful or unkind. And in last week's sermon, Pastor Dave shared that wisdom has a moral element to it, right? It's not just being smart. When wisdom and foolishness are contrasted, they're also contrasting good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. And so wisdom has a moral quality to it. And so when we're foolish with our words, we're delving into a world of sinfulness, right? It's not just about being smart or not. So wise people are slow to speak to avoid sinning, to avoid foolishness. And conversely, foolish people are quick to speak. Proverbs 18 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Well, this is what I think. Proverbs 18:23 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Foolish people talk flippantly and carelessly. They don't listen very well. They share opinions when they haven't been invited in, and we've all been there. We've all said things carelessly or flippantly. We've all offered unsolicited advice, you know. Well, when I raised my kids, I think you need some help with that. Oh, okay, right? Have you been there? Had someone interject some words of wisdom that come across as judgment? But we've all received those, we've all been there, we've all done it. Careless talkers are like drivers stepping on the gas at a yellow light, right? Who does that? Come on. It's like a challenge to get through before the red light hits. No. It's like stepping on the gas and you end up blowing a red light when we're careless with our words. When we barge ahead without conscientiously thinking about what we're saying. Damage can be a result. The Quakers have a proverb that says, always be reluctant to speak unless you can improve upon the silence. That's really good. But before we go too far, let me make something clear. Some of us are talkers, right? Usually talkers married to a non-talker, you know? Some people just like to chat, and some people are just don't. And so that's not what we're talking about here. We're not saying people who talk are talkative, are foolish, and people who are not are automatically wise. But we're getting a lot of, we're just getting a lot of going on down here. It's good. I gotta find my notes again, you guys. But what we are saying is we should all be careful. We should all be conscientious whenever we speak. So some times that are really important to be careful, sometimes to really exercise caution. Maybe before you had your coffee or you're really hungry. But seriously, if you're really emotionally triggered, if you're really upset, or you're in a conflict with someone, you immediately need to exercise special caution, right? Or when someone else is in a really vulnerable state, grief or pain or loss or sadness, we need to exercise really special caution. Not paralyzing fear, just caution and conscientiousness. When we're giving feedback or correction, we need to exercise special caution. And what this all takes is developing our emotional IQ. to stop long enough to ask, what am I feeling right now before I open my mouth? Am I really triggered? Am I really scared? Maybe I need to slow down, right? Or we're gonna need to stop and go, what are they feeling right now? What might be going on for them? This is called emotional intelligence, right? And this is a really important part of our growing up into Christ-likeness, is being self-aware of our own stuff and being trying to be aware of other people's reality so that we don't barge in and say something that's hurtful or harmful. Again, we're just being conscientious. This is the loving thing to do, isn't it? It's the loving thing to do. And so men, kind of speaking mostly to you right now, because I know that we're not naturally the best at this. But to grow up in Christ, we need to learn to be attentive to what we're feeling. You need to, because we're going to say stuff when we're mad. We're going to say stuff when we're scared. And if we don't know that we're feeling that way, we're going to hurt the people around us. And we don't want to do that. I don't know anybody who wants to do that. But we need to get in tune with our own heart so that we can speak out of a good place and not the wrong place. Amen? Ladies, too, but guys especially, we need to get in tune. And being emotionally self-aware and emotionally aware of others is such a significant skill in order to grow in wisdom. So that's our yellow light. It's our yellow light. So our red light, the wise flee from gossip and slander. The red light at an intersection means you need to come to a full stop. No rolling through, no double-checking, I'm going to go. It's full stop. The wisdom of Proverbs teaches us that gossiping and speaking badly about others behind their back is a red light thing. There's never an appropriate time for this. This is the domain of the foolish. This is the domain of the wicked and the unrighteous. Proverbs chapter 10 says, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. It's very tempting to speak ill of other people, isn't it? Doesn't it feel kind of good? Like a nice bite of cake or steak that goes down. There's something satisfying about diminishing someone else. Because now I'm up here, right? When we speak behind people's back. The wisdom of Proverbs teaches us this is a full stop. This is a no-go zone. The wise don't go here. So I recently learned a phrase about gossip, which is a perk. For being learning new phrases is a perk for being on a staff with people who are like 20 years younger than you. You're like, oh, that's a thing. That's what the youth are saying these days. So, okay, who knows the term spilling the tea? Everybody who's like got kids under 30, yeah. So I'm like spilling the tea. Apparently means like, tell me the gossip. Give me the gossip. I'm like, no, you mean spilling the beans. Like, isn't that it? Like spilling the beans? And I don't even like tea, so I'm going to stick with the beans. But this sense of like gossiping, just come on, spill it. What's going on? What's really happening? What do you know? And the question came up in that conversation, what even is gossip? Because, I mean, you can't go very long without talking about somebody who's not there. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to do, right, to not refer about to somebody. Because how do you go through your life like that? But gossip... I wanted to work through what that means. Because gossip is one of these sins that we don't really give much attention to, do we? It's sort of like, don't have sex with the wrong people, but gossip, whatever, right? Like, don't do the big things, but gossip and talking about, you know, we don't really think about as being very serious. But I think we need to pay more attention to that. This is a sin issue. So what makes gossip gossip? In the Bible, gossip is always a negative thing. There's never like a neutral sort of stance. So we're not referring to like just neutrally talking about someone who's not there. Gossip biblically is correlated with like backbiting and slandering someone. It's contrasted with being trustworthy. And it's divisive. So Proverbs chapter 11 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs chapter 16 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. So we're talking about something that's very divisive, very harmful. Talking about something that separates friends and breaks trust. And it's a serious sin issue in the New Testament as well. Romans chapter 1, Paul lists gossip along with such things like envy and murder and malice. In 2 Corinthians, Paul expresses fear that the church, he might find them in quarreling and jealousy and anger and factions and slander and gossip. So it's a speech that undermines someone else's dignity or privacy, speech that undermines someone's personhood and diminishes them. A really visceral example that was shared with me is somebody likens gossip to viewing pornography. It's undressing somebody for your pleasure without their permission. Unpeeling the layers of someone else's privacy and dignity for your own satisfaction. This isn't becoming of the church, right? It's obvious when we put it in those terms, but it can be easy to fall into. Because why? Because the words of a gossip go down like a choice morsel. It can feel good. But it breaks up relationships. It's harmful. It's divisive. And we need to flee from that kind of activity. We need to come to a full stop here. So you might be asking, how can the wise wield the power of the words in a good way? We've talked about being cautious and stopping, but what about the go? The green light at the intersection means proceed, advance, don't stop, don't wait. It's time to go forward. And wise people speak words of life. Wise people speak words of life actively. We don't hold on to them. We are not stingy with speaking well of others. We're not stingy or careful or cautious about bringing life into someone else's world. We go for it. We advance. When it comes to speaking words of life, we shouldn't hesitate or stop. We need to go for it. Proverbs 10 says, "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment." Proverbs chapter 10, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked." So we're talking about speaking positively, speaking constructively, speaking imaginatively and creatively of someone else and some other person or some circumstance. We're imagining God's best, right? We're imagining a good future. We're imagining the ones we love in the best terms possible. We're not criticizing or critiquing, you could really work on that. It's like, no, I believe that you can go here. I believe you can do this. I believe in who you are. I believe it's faith language, right? Even though I can't see it fully, I believe for you. It's God is for you. He's with you. It's speaking the words of God over one another. Scriptures. God has promised this for you. God believes this for you. God's forgiven you. It's life, right? It's truth. And we shouldn't hesitate to speak these words. Too many people wait. We stop, right? When it comes to this area. And I don't know, like, it could be the world we grew up in or parents who didn't want us to get a big head or didn't want us to become proud or arrogant. And so words of affirmation and praise were withheld from you. So you don't feel like you should, right? With your kids, you're careful because, you know, don't get too high on yourself. But we shouldn't worry about that too much. I mean, you know your kids better than I do. Sometimes it's good to beat them at the sports just so they realize where they stand. But we stop too often. We wait too often with speaking words of life. Amen? Amen? We all know how powerful it can be to have somebody say something that sees us and calls out our potential and calls out our best selves generously and graciously. We try to do this with our kids. We do compliment our kids. Because compliments are nice, right? And this isn't what we're really talking about. When I'm talking about speaking words of life, I'm not just talking about compliments. Compliments are nice. Hey, you look good this morning. Okay, thanks. It feels nice. But there's so much more, isn't there? Right? So with our kids, we compliment our kids. I don't want my four daughters starved for positive male attention, right? So I said, you look so cute. You look so nice. Dads, we need to do that. We need to praise our daughters and praise our sons, compliment them on just the little things around the day. But we should not emphasize that, right? How people look, right? Things that are just shallow and maybe trivial. We want to really speak into people's lives. So we try to say things like, you're so smart. You know, young girls need to hear that they're not just a pretty face. Guys, you're so smart. Wow, look how strong you are, honey. I love how kind you were to your sister. Good job sharing. You work so hard on that project. I'm so proud of you. I love who you're becoming. I really admire you for standing up for what you believe in. God made you beautiful inside and out. People like getting compliments, but people thrive off of encouragement, right? I have a box of notes that I've gotten over the years of encouraging things from people, cards, and it's just so good to go back and go, oh yeah. You know, you're just reminded of the good people have seen in you and the good they've called out of you. But you can walk a mile on a word of encouragement. But a compliment just feels good and it's gone. We need to be people of encouragement. We need to be people who speak words that bring life, that expand our horizon of who we are and who God has called us to be. So I wonder how can we grow in being those type of people with our words, building up with our words. What kind of world am I creating with my words? Like if somebody painted a picture of the words that you shared with the people that you're around, what would that picture look like? What kind of world would that create? Would it be splattered with dark shades of gray and because you're focusing on the negative things? Would there be like a little bright cloud or sunny spot over the corner where like, yeah, that's a good job, but you gotta really work on this? We need to create a beautiful picture with our words of hope, of faith, of love for our loved ones and the people we're around. What kind of world do we create? But here's the thing. Up until now, I've just been telling you what you need to stop doing or doing. And you go, okay, I'll work harder, Pastor Chad. But our hearts don't change that easy, do they? And we don't need just another sermon on law telling us how to be or not be. Pull up your bootstraps. We can't do this on our own. Like Jesus said, our hearts determine the words that come out of our mouths, and we need God to change our hearts. We need a new heart, because from the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaks. So this isn't just like, go home and do better. I want us to see like our mouths as sort of the test of how much God has gotten a hold of my life. How much has God influenced me so that I want to speak what's happening inside to others? I want the grace and the forgiveness that God has poured into my life to be the grace and forgiveness I speak. I want the kindness and the goodness of God that I've experienced through His Spirit within me to be what comes out of my mouth for others. I want to be a person of blessing because God so blessed me from the inside out. And Jesus showed us the overflow of a good heart. We talk about those yellow light zones where we're like under pressure, in conflict. Jesus was being crucified. He was being executed. And the words that came out of His mouth were not curses, but He cried, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. While He was being killed, the overflow of His heart came out in words of forgiveness. He showed us what it looks like. The Holy Spirit filled Jesus fuller than any other human being who's ever lived. And we need the Holy Spirit to renovate our hearts, to change our hearts, to reveal the love and the goodness of God, to convict us of sin, to shape us. You remember the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came and fell on the disciples, what manifested above each of their heads?
A what?
A tongue
of fire.
A tongue of fire. And from that point on, when their disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, their tongues became full of the words of God, became full of praise, became full of witness, became full of testimony, became full of prophecy. When the Holy Spirit fills us, he gets a hold of our tongue to spread good news, to be people of good news, to be people of life, to speak words of life. The overflow of the Holy Spirit is life and goodness and joy, self-control, faithfulness. And you and I, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us again. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us, to change and soften our hearts so that the overflow of our heart is his life, are his words. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's about surrendering your tongue to be an empowered witness for Jesus. Have you had that experience of overflow? Of God's presence coming in and you can't help but speak words of goodness. You can't help but be, God, I am so overwhelmed with your love, I can't help but share it. We need our hearts to be changed, to be filled.
Thank you for listening to the APA podcast. We hope it helps you better follow Jesus in your home, city, and around the world.